First, different countries are using different strategies to deal with the coronavirus pandemic, and the results vary. Factors like the status of a nation's healthcare system, other infrastructure, and age and overall health of the population certainly play a role. Our next guest says levels of trust and distrust make a big difference, too. Mark Schrod is an associate professor in the Department of Political Science at Villanova University. He received his PhD in political science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and his areas of expertise include comparative politics, Russian politics, and international law. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've written a piece for Foreign Policy looking broadly at how different countries are responding to this pandemic and how successful those different measures have been. And you key in on this issue of trust as a determining factor. What is it about trust?
I think it's one of many factors, but it seems to be the one that is just kind of hidden in plain sight. We do a lot of comparative politics in my classes. And usually the one I think that we all are kind of geared into when we're trying to differentiate between countries and their responses are the political ones, right? Are they democracy or dictatorship? That seems to be the usual one. But the places that seem to be doing the best in terms of, you know, balancing economic openness and so on are kind of a hodgepodge. They don't fit so much into that. Either they're all democracies and or all dictatorships. They're not all, you know, having, you know, these really hyper developed, you know, welfare states or just the opposite. But it seems to be the countries that are doing the best are the ones with historically high levels of trust, not only trust in their government to deliver the goods, as it were, but also trust, societal trust, trust in one another. And I think that, you know, it seems to be just kind of staring us all in the face, but it's one of those things I think we need to work on, you know, getting past some of these partisan divisions, you know, and starting to develop our own, you know, senses of trust, because it's ultimately going to be one of those things that's going to help us on down the line.
Well, let's first look at trust in government from citizens. How have you seen that play out in a positive way with COVID-19?
I think, you know, again, when you see a lot of these statistics, because, you know, political scientists have been accruing data on this sort of stuff for years, you know, the places that seem to have, you know, flattened the curve fairly well seem to be the ones that have high trust in government. And so you're looking at places like South Korea, Taiwan, China historically has, you know, very large, you know, scores on trust in government. But also, you know, on the other side of the globe, you look at places like Iceland, which has sort of now flattened the curve quite a bit, and Sweden as well. That's, I guess, a more contentious issue if you want to get into the weeds on it. But it seems to be, you know, that this notion that, hey, we have trust not only in our government to do the right thing, but also trust in our leadership to follow the science. You know, to have policies that are well thought out because they know that they're going to be, you know, essentially responsible to the population at some point in time, whether that's elections or some other means.
Well, New Zealand is another place that we have seen, you know, really impressive response. There was mm-hmm. quick, decisive approach to the spread of the new coronavirus. It included shutting the border to people who weren't residents or citizens, also shut down most of the country. And here is Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
There is no widespread undetected community transmission in New Zealand. We have won that battle, but we must remain vigilant if we're to keep it that way.
Polls just this week saw Ardern's party's popularity, her own approval rating rising, showed that 78% of New Zealanders believe the country is headed in the right direction. It seems like that is a country that's got a lot of trust there.
Yeah, to be sure. And a lot of it is, you know, they're delivering the goods, right? I mean, they're showing, they're demonstrating to the population that we are in control. We do have an effective response. You know, we are effectively leading and you know, addressing these unforeseen circumstances and are doing it in a way that, you know, that is broadly responsive. Right. And so people seem to be, like I said, fairly responsive to that.
Mark Schrod is an associate professor in the Department of Political Science at Villanova University, and we're talking about the role that trust plays in our fight against the new coronavirus. We've identified places where there's a lot of trust. What about the other side? What does response to the pandemic look like in countries where people don't trust the government very much?
Well, I think the ground zero for that is the United States. And it's something that a lot of people have been worried about for a long time and sort of been pointing out is, you know, look at this statistics on popularity, not only of you know, the executive branch, but of Congress, but of government more broadly. You know, we've been, you know, taught since we were very, very young, going back to the Reagan years and through the Clinton years and so on, that government is bad. Government can do no good. You know, the best government is a small government. And you know, politicians aren't to be trusted. And so we've kind of built this kind of calloused shell around ourselves, that, you know, we're very cynical and we don't want to be duped because we don't want to be overly gullible and overly trusting. But I think in many cases, as Americans as a whole, we've kind of pushed off to the opposite end of that spectrum. We've gotten to the point where we're so cynical. We've gotten to the point where everything, you know, that's happening has to have some ulterior motive behind it. Well, it must be because somebody has something to gain from this or from that. So we've become sort of this land of gullible cynics, you know, that we kind of throw up our hands and say, well, we don't know what's going on. And, you know, we don't. But somebody's got to be profiting from that. That seems to always be like one of the underlying arguments that gets tossed out. But I think we need to kind of maybe dial back some of the cynicism and say, hey, maybe, you know, when it comes to doing the right thing for the community, doing the right thing for one another, you know, there doesn't have to be an ulterior motive. There doesn't have to be a profit motive behind that. That's, you know, part of being a community. That's part of being a society, right? So, so that's hopefully, you know, my hope, knock on wood, that something positive comes out of this whole mess, is a little bit more understanding, a little bit more empathy, and a little bit less cynicism towards one another and towards the government.
Yeah, it doesn't help, though, when we have different states competing with different states for materials or protective equipment for healthcare workers. We've got the federal government sometimes stepping in and seizing orders that were going different places. So not only is there this overall challenge of trust, but there's also layers of trust and mistrust, you know, among smaller sections of people.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, ideally, you know, we would have a fully functioning, you know, sort of federal system that kind of works with this. You know, what we're witnessing now is kind of abdication of leadership at the federal level. And that's kind of relegated us to a situation which might be better described as a competitive confederacy. It's states going against states, out competing states for ventilators and for masks and so on, and competing against the federal government. And so this seems to be very pathological in its notion. And so in terms of what that means for trust, I think you see a lot more focus on, you know, who do you trust? Not, maybe not at the federal level, if you're looking at, you know, the Trump administration or at Congress, but at the state level, looking at your, you know, the kind of the state by state decision makers, looking at governors, looking at their advisory boards, and determining which ones are, you know, trying to make decisions based on the common good and based upon science that can be empirically verified and therefore trusted. And who isn't, right? And so it's kind of in some ways really depressing to sort of recognize that you know, sort of basic questions of health and endurance going forward has a lot to depend upon, you know, who, whether or not, you know, the governor in the most recent election in your state happens to believe in science or not. And it's not always a narrowly partisan Democrat versus Republican thing. I mean, look at sort of Mike DeWine in Ohio, seems to be getting very high marks. A lot of it and building a lot of trust in government because he's delivering the goods and because he seems to be putting the welfare of his population first.
Well, let's take it way down then to the micro level. What about trust in communities among neighbors and people? What role do you see social trust or distrust playing as we deal with this pandemic?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, you could look at. I'm just trying to think of my own sort of anecdotal stuff out here in the Philadelphia suburbs. But you know, checking in with each other. You know, people reconnecting with neighbors they haven't seen for a long time. You know, that sort of grassroots trust. You know, checking in on elderly neighbors. That's something that's that could be a positive that comes out of this whole thing. But also we see, I think, on a daily basis, kind of the opposite of that, sort of that inherent distrust. And I can think of no better indicator of distrust than or societal distrust than sort of, you know, buying up whole bunches of guns. Right. You know, you don't have to buy a whole, you know, arsenal of guns if you trust everybody around you and you trust your neighbors to do the right things. And so that to me is just an indicator of a broader sense of distrust in our communities. But hopefully this is something, you know, this is, you know, maybe a bit of a timeout for us all to build our communities, to build our neighborhoods, to check in on those neighbors and those friends, and to try to recognize that's, you know, one of the things that comes with trusting community is building community and yeah. Recognizing that we're all very much in this together.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, no problem.
Mark Schrod is an associate professor of political science at Villanova University, and his third book is called Smashing the Liquor Machine, A Global History of Prohibition. Oxford University Press is publishing it this fall. And he was with us to discuss his recent article for Foreign Policy magazine titled The Secret to Coronavirus Success is Trust. You can find a link for that over at WPR.org/Central Time.